The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Michael Bullock is with me, though, in our studio. He is president of the Austin Police Association. Michael, you're welcome to the show. You don't think that Beyonce is singing country music there?
No, I do not. People that is not views. Genuine country, my friend. Okay.
I could see. Michael is sitting across to me, shaking his head.
It's a catchy song. I give it that. But it is not country.
Listen, we want to talk about policing because I was struck when I was kind of reading up about some of the issues in this city and what has happening here, how so many of the issues that the members of the police department in Austin, how they reflect actually issues we have at home. So we've got this kind of the Gardaí, as we call them, our police force. We've got a shortage of them. This kind of perceptions then that there's not enough officers on the beat. That in turn creates perception that parts of the city become unsafe. Perception is reality then. You've got to do something about it. And there is complaints and accusations made by those officers about kind of oppressive oversight and the consequence of it. All of these, you're nodding along because these are all issues that you're dealing with. So we might kind of do the scores on the doors, as we say, first. So how many police officers are there? What's the shortage like? How many short are you of what you think you need?
Yeah, so right now we have around 1,460, 1,470 officers. At our peak, we had around 1,900, and we're supposed to have, for a city our size, we're supposed to have somewhere between 2,200 to 2,300. So we're 700 to 800 officers short of where we should be.
So what is the impact then of that shortage?
Well, right now it's that people that should be working like as a detective, investigating crimes and, you know, doing a lot of the investigative work and doing interviews, they're having to go back and take our emergency calls. So they're actually out working the streets now too. So they're having to pull double duty. They're not being able to investigate times when they should be investigating murders and aggravated robberies and stuff like that. They're having to go work patrol, and it has a pretty significant impact on the officers who are taking 911 calls. You know, they're out there taking emergency calls, and your backup is a ways away. There's not as many people to go take the calls, so people don't get the quality of service that they expect when you call for the police.
And is there a point in time that you look back to and you say, right, this is when it started, this is when the snowball started rolling down the hill, or maybe it's kind of a confluence of events? What's causing it all?
No, I would say a lot of it started back in like 2017. So at the end of 2017 is when our contract, so the officers have a contract with the city that outline pay, benefits, a lot of our working conditions, how oversight is handled, a lot of things like that. And in 2017, our city council voted that contract down. Every year up until then, we had hired more officers than had left the department. Every year since then, we have lost more officers than have joined. And so, and you add in all the other political ebbs and flows we've dealt with, and it's just gotten worse to the point where last year we lost 161 officers in a single year and barely hired around 75.
Okay. So as you said, I mean, it echoes so much. The recruitment and retention crisis is what they refer to it as, the representative groups in Ireland. And it's the same thing here, more leaving than are coming in because it's not as an attractive a prospect as it once was, effectively.
Exactly. It's become increasingly political. What's ironic here in Texas is that state law that governs in particular Austin, the very first section of that law says that the point of having civil service is what we call it, but having police officers that are under civil service is to have a efficient system of policing free from political influence. And we have the opposite, right? And all across the country you deal with it, where policing and likely across the world, it is increasingly political. Politics drives people's perception of the police and therefore whether people want to get into the profession or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's one of the aspects of this that is different. I guess it's not necessarily political in Ireland in the sense policing and funding for the police hasn't been consumed by the culture wars to the same degree that it has here. And you've got like defund the police as well. So for people at home in Ireland, what is that? Where did it come from?
Yeah, so a lot of it started back in 2020 is when we really saw the peak of it here in Austin, where people that were a lot of social, they call them social justice activists, that they got involved and they thought that a lot of what the police were doing was oppressive and racist and that we were effectively just beating people up because we can, none of which is actually true. But they wanted to take money away from the police department and use alternative methods of enforcing the law. But it has yet to work. It has not been an effective program. And in the meantime, we now have staffing crisis within the police department, where departments have been underfunded. They've had funding taken away from them. No one wants to come to the profession. And now we see increases in crime, where Austin has now broken homicide records. So the last 3 years have been our highest 3 years of homicide rates in recent recorded history for the city of Austin. So what they thought was going to happen did not happen, and now we're just dealing with more violent crime.
And I guess that the problem that creates is a problem of perception and reputation, doesn't it, for the city, particularly a city like this that kind of is so outward looking that you've got, you know, all of this kind of investment, this tech investment. You've got a big tourism industry, and people tell us to go and kind of enjoy the barbecue and beers and the blues and stuff on 6th and Rainy and all this sort of stuff. That's not helped.
Kind of
selling that reputation has not helped when the headline beside it is Austin breaks homicide rates.
Right. Yeah. And then you can go back, like, for whatever reason, a lot of some individuals in our city have obsessions with machetes. And so you see machete attacks that happen on our hike and bike trail, that happen downtown. They happen in our entertainment district. They happen all over the city. And that does not inspire confidence when people want to come to our city.
Machete attacks. So where does that come from? Is that like a kind of a cultural thing that's kind of born? Some people start doing it, others copy?
It's such a random thing. It really is. I don't know. The best thing that I can figure and that we seem to find out is it tends to involve just they're readily accessible, right? There's no background check to get a machete. It doesn't, you know, it's not like purchasing a gun. And so they're readily available. You can go get one at Walmart, Home Depot, anywhere around here. That's just a big box store. And so it's an easy thing to have on you. And it's in particularly popular with our homeless population. So individuals who are homeless, living on the streets, that's one of their primary means of self-defense. And then they wind up using it against someone else.
Yeah, that's the danger, isn't it?
Indeed,
you know, you give
is.
People the weapon for self-defense, they tend to use it
when
you give it to people. You know, there are members of the police force in Ireland who have wound up in prison. I'm sure it's the same here. And it's always given as an example of why oversight is needed. And I don't think anyone would suggest it's not. Of course, you need oversight.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that people, including officers, are working within the kind of the bounds of the law and the boundaries of the law. At the same time, one of the complaints that's made by representative groups in Ireland is that the oversight can become oppressive.
Yeah.
And what it means is that you have a situation whereby officers then are not reacting or responding in the way they would like to, you know, and it's low level stuff, maybe, you know, of course they'll react to the bigger things, but you see kind of, you know, young guy in a scrambler motorbike whizzes through the lights, breaks the red lights, you know what I mean? And disappears into a housing estate. They think, I'm not chasing that guy, because if I chase him, he crashes, I'm suspended and possibly up in court.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, one of the things I was reading about here, it's the same complaint about oversight.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the bigger concerns too, is that it's not only, you know, oversight can go, it's good, but it can go too far, right? To the point where you're moving away from a fair system and it's becoming a punitive system. And if you're just trying to micromanage and impose punitive discipline, especially for low-level policy violations, then you're not really encouraging people to work. You're not helping them become better. You're just targeting them and you're just discouraging them. And you do get it. Like we have, in particular for us, the problem is with our district attorney that makes major cases out of incidents where we believe that officers followed their training and their policy, and yet they still become a target, and now they're looking at potentially going to jail for an extremely long period of time. And the case just doesn't warrant that. And that's what prevents people from coming here anyway. Like, they don't want to join the profession if that's a possibility.
And the solution to all of this, Michael, is what, I guess there's cultural change. I don't know how you take politics out of the debate. It strikes me the kind of the short-term solution is sort out that contract that expired in 2017, is it?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is getting back under contract, because we outline a lot of the, you know, the conditions and kind of the process that relates to oversight, because that's the biggest issue. We don't have any problems with oversight. We want to get rid of bad officers more than anybody else, because it hurts the profession overall. So, you know, that's definitely something that we want. But I think the other part of it is showing that officers do have support and giving them the tools they need to do the job they're being asked to do, and recognizing it's an extremely difficult job to do in the first place.
Michael Bullock, President of the Austin Police Association. Michael, listen, thanks a million for joining us here on the show. If you're just joining us at home, we are coming to you live from Austin, Texas today. David from Ennis is after getting in touch on 087 1400 106. David says he lived in Austin in the year 2000 for a year. My wife and I going back in 3 weeks for a week. It is such a great city. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to the bats. Or we went looking for the bats one night. Like Jess, Kieran, my wife was petrified that they would attack her. And make sure you go to one of the shooting ranges as well. That's real Texas, so says David from Ennis. Michael is nodding along here to that suggestion.
Right. Go to the shooting range.
Go to the shooting range. We might try and squeeze that in this afternoon. David, listen, thank you for the text, Michael. Thank you again.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.